Bills over the Titans 34-10 to improve to 5-2. What do we settle on? Outclassed.
Yes.
A friend of mine, Sue, texted to suggest we go with slap. The Bills slapped the Titans. Just consider it. Put it in the hopper. Tell me what you think.
I'm making a face. I don't know.
You're okay still with outclassed.
Yeah, I like outclassed way more than slapped, I would say.
Eric Wood with us West Her Hotline. Eric earlier got in touch to say he would have a conflict this time, but then only a few minutes ago responded again to say, no, I'm good. And so I'm thinking, you know, this is, of course, not anything you have to address here on the air, Eric, but I'm thinking maybe it was a pedicure. That's my guess. What you don't have to say, but that's just throwing that out there.
I think it was kid pickup and your wife stepped in. That's my guess.
No, it was neither. And so last week was a flat tire. This week was a golf tournament for, not to make this grim, a buddy of mine passed, who was a veteran who always had me play in the USA Cares event every year with him. And his wife made me promise at the funeral a month ago that I would not miss the USA Cares event. And so I'm grateful that One Bills Live was flexible with me, and you guys were as well, but it ended up being pretty quick. So I thought it was going to be a longer day.
Gotcha.
And so glad to make the 4 p.m. time slot.
Well, good for you, Eric. Sounds like a very, very much a worthwhile thing. Sorry for your friend's loss there. But hopefully today felt good for everybody.
It did, for sure. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. So a few times over the years, it's been many years now we've talked on these Mondays, I have wanted to ask you to start the conversation. What will you remember about this game you just called yesterday? And I don't know. This is one where I think there's a pretty good chance I will forget about this game, except for maybe Amari Cooper. Maybe that would be my pick. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The Amari arrival and, you know, how that impacts things moving forward. Does that continue to maybe take attention off of Keon Coleman, who goes over 100 yards for the first time? Does it give them a man-to-man beater where, you know, no one would play man-to-man defense against the Bills for years, and some of that was Josh running the football and smashing man-to-man defense because of it. But, you know, this year has been the Bills have faced the highest percentage of man-to-man defense in the league because people don't fear the receivers. And then yesterday, you see Amari Cooper's impact immediately, I feel. There was a few times where he single-handedly beat it himself. He created a drive, likely drawing attention away from Khalil Shakir, where he catches five balls on one drive, and then Keon Coleman goes for 125 yards yesterday. So, to me, if I remember, it'll be the Amari Cooper arrival. Now, I also had my family at the game yesterday. It was their first Bills game of the year, so I'll remember that as well. We had a fun day. Josh posed with a picture with them after the game, and my stinking son, he wears the Josh Allen High School Fireball jersey to the game. Well, my wife takes him to the Bills store, and he wants a James Cook jersey. So when he got a picture with Josh, he had the James Cook jersey on. So we were messing with him about that.
That is too bad. Well, good for you that you did that. What a perfect day for it, too. You know, and Cooper, to further the narrative that, like, that is what you'll remember, I would agree, and especially how it started off. Like, that we might have to work to have that be. We'll see how his career ends up here as a Bill, but the first time they target him, it's a third down. It looks like a pretty easy pitch and catch, and it's what's the one negative about Cooper in the deal is that he was leading the league in drops. It's been a thing through his career. He will drop the ball on you, and there it is. First target, third down. Oh, no. But obviously, they got right before the game was over.
For sure, and I'm right there with you, and that leads to the first three and out of the game, which followed two other three and outs for the Bills offense. And so the Bills offense starts slow, and Amari had a chance to move the sticks early on in that one and couldn't get it done. I love the play in the red zone where, you know, he dices up the safety and the Bills score a touchdown, and he looks over at Keon Coleman before the play, and Keon Coleman motions with his right hand, kind of what Amari's supposed to do on the play, and he does it, and he gets a touchdown, and Josh trusts him enough to go to him in that instance. And so, you know, I think he's going to be a great addition to this team. You know, from what I've heard and seen over the past week, you know, it seems like we got a high-character guy who's not going to say a whole lot, which you don't necessarily need at this point. You need a guy who can come in and fit in and beat man-to-man coverage and draw attention off of other guys. And you also have a guy who's had 7 1,000-yard seasons. He's a 10-year vet, and you got a young receiving core that could benefit from learning from a guy like Omari.
Including Coleman, who apparently now is like the sage of the wide receiver room, telling the other guys where to go, but worked. With Eric Wood, did you see a specific adjustment or two in the second half from what was a really ugly first half? I mean, Cooper emerging is a part of what resulted. I don't know. There was a little bit more of the get the ball out quickly, throw the ball, less, you know, what, committed, if that's not the right word, to running the ball and sort of playing slower, which has worked at times this year. But this game is the kind of game that I sort of take as an opportunity to point to, yeah, you know, Allen, 323, whatever it was, this is how I'm going to win if I'm going to win big.
Yeah, absolutely. And they put the ball in Josh's hands in the second half. Now, I felt like they got under center more in the second half, which helped the run game at times, but also leading off drives or first down plays with play action from under center seemed to free up some stuff down the field. And then defensively, you know, I just felt like, okay, you have Mason Rudolph coming into the game. You know, he's, you know, starting, you know, they make the quarterback switch and they just gave him too much easy stuff. Like, make him beat you down the field. Don't let him dink and dunk you with the play action rollout, dumps off to the tight end, the screens. And then really every time he dropped back the pass, he was attacking that linebacker level, just knowing they're in zone. Okay, we have three targets. You have essentially two defenders in the middle of the field. And I believe he started the game like 16 for 19. And in the second half, they just did a much better job of taking that away, not giving him anything easy. And, you know, they hold him to under 100 yards total in the second half. And then you're right. Look, when the offense isn't rolling and you can't stay in rhythm and you're struggling to get first downs, put the ball in Josh's hands. And I'm not saying every possession, if you give him three shots at getting a first down, dropping back and pass, it's going to work every time. But on a game where the run game's just not getting the chunk runs, it's, and it wasn't a bad run output on the game, but okay, we get four, then we get two, third and four, and you punt. Okay, well, let's start taking chip shots, and the Bills did in the second half.
Yeah, I was especially keen to see them come out in the second half, Eric, throwing a lot of that, like the quick stuff to, like Mike is saying, the ball's coming out so fast, the stuff that was kind of parallel to the line of scrimmage. We've seen them do that to start games with both Kincaid and Shakir. I don't know that I've seen it at all in the second half. It felt like a different thing to do later on in a game, and it really worked for them to the tune of really when they were even comfortably ahead, they still were doing that, and I felt like it was sort of in place of your standard 4 minute. I know there weren't 4 minutes left in the game, but you know what I'm referring to. Like, yep. You know, run it out here. We're just going to run it and eat clock and kill the game. They used a quick, short, the quick hitting, short passing game in place of that, and man, I love that.
I did too, and you know, the Bills start that final drive that Ray Davis capped off with a touchdown. They start it with the pass to Keon Coleman. As I say, they're just going to grind this one out. And the pass that went off of Keon's head at Houston, they completed it last week against the Jets. It's that old school, I always call it the Brett Favre RPO. So before RPOs out of the shotgun were popular, the guy who made them popular was Brett Favre, because he started putting a slant route on the backside of run plays. And if you have an easy free access throw to the inside, no one knows it except for the guy who's running the slant on the backside and the quarterback that he's going to throw out of it. Well, it completely throws off the defense at times, and the Bills get 54 yards on that play to Coleman. And, you know, that's just another, you know, kind of play, another tool that the Bills have in their tool belt now. And the drive before that where Shakir caught five passes, well, there was no risky throws on the play. You have right. A commanding lead. Okay, so they went back-to-back, you know, essentially wide receiver screens to both sides of the field. One, Spencer Brown just had a phenomenal block out in space. But you have back-to-back screens. You have a quick hitter over to the middle of the field. You know, they're not risky throws. Josh isn't going to take a shot with a two-score lead in that period. But it's easy completions. You're putting the ball in your best player's hands. And, yeah, I thought the second – I loved what the Bills did in the second half. And, you know, you could talk about the teams that the Tennessee Titans played or – You know, they're generally behind in games, so that helps them kind of control yards from the other team. They come into the game with the number one statistical defense in the league, but the fact that the Bills put up 34 points on them was pretty impressive.
Yeah, good point. Eric, I know you follow the league, you know, all over really closely. We've had conversations where you'll bring up random things you've seen from the day before, and I always like that. And I wonder with that, not to put you on the spot, but if you think about the MVP award, I've gotten more and more interested in sort of the weekly conversation about the MVP. And here's Allen, who it's not that it hasn't been established how good he is before, but no picks. And we're almost halfway through the season. And that's something that's counter to what I think sort of the simple narrative is about his game. Like I said, sort of what the butt is when it comes to Allen and sort of like whether he could be an MVP or what have you. So this year, whether you want to put it in context, the context of the award or not, just is he playing differently for you? Is the conversation changing about him to the extent maybe where there's an opening for him to win?
I would think so. I mean, if you take away the turnovers last year, which you can't do, but if you took away the turnovers last year, Josh runs away with the MVP award. The narrative, ever since the start of last season against the Jets when he had four turnovers, the whole narrative the entire season was Josh just turns the ball over too much. I mean, it was just set in stone from the Monday Night Football. It was Josh Allen versus Aaron Rodgers. It's the big injury. The Bills lose. Zach Wilson, who plays every snap with three snaps in that game. And I felt like it was just set in stone last year. And so now this year he has two turnovers but just two fumbles, zero interceptions. I thought his answer last week was perfect when they asked him about it. And they said, are you playing differently? He was like, well, I've thrown interceptions this year. They just haven't caught them.
Right.
But I'll say this. If that's your narrative and that's why you wouldn't give him the MVP last year, okay, well, now what's your story this year? And I don't know. And I get it. I love Josh, and I like him as a person. I love him as a player. And I've defended him since the day he got to Buffalo. But I feel like there's been a constant narrative in the media of people who have defended their pre-draft evaluation of him over and over, which has hurt him when it comes to when it comes to accolades, when it comes to all pros, when it comes to MVP awards. And it seems like he's putting that to rest. And, you know, I think some of it's style of play. There's been some, you know, we've talked about it before, and kind of this everybody eats system. Joe Brady's scripting some easier throws for him this year, but he's also taking some shots down the field, and he's taking some chances through tight windows and showing off his arm strength to where it's not like he's playing a dink and dunk game either.
Yeah, I really like that yesterday. It seemed like in the second half, I mean, we've already kind of covered this, but I just want to add it in here, like that they sort of got to back to on time. Like for a few weeks, going back even to the Baltimore game, which I know is like their first loss of the year, and the Houston game, I think, was some of this, that the passing game had really been reduced to effectively Allen getting out of structure and rolling right and chucking it 40 yards down the field to Ray Davis or to whomever. And I feel like yesterday was a return, and maybe it's no coincidence. Here's Amari Cooper. It was sort of a return to, like, you know, snap, step, throw, done. And I think, like, I love the, you know, Sandlot stuff. It's one of the great things that you've got here that's an advantage. You've got a player that can do that for you, but it's no way to live down in and down out through a 17-game season and hopefully a long run in the playoffs.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, that's an addition to, you know, what the rest of the offense should be, and I'm with you. And, you know, there was a back shoulder throw to Amari yesterday. There was a back shoulder throw in, you know, tight coverage, but it comes out, like you're saying, right at the top of the drop to Keon Coleman late in the game, and they ended up calling that not a touchdown. The Dalton Kincaid play that brought him down to about the 1 or 2 yard line, that was a mismatch. He identified immediately. It was just a, you know, corner route. But, I mean, Josh knew where he was going with that ball based upon the matchup before that play probably started. And so, to me, yes, yesterday was more indicative of a passing game that in a non-fluky way puts up 323 yards. It wasn't, you know, the Ray Davis down the field play. It wasn't, you know, the Shakir play against Baltimore.
Right.
These are on schedule plays. I think there was one play early in the game to Keon where Josh rolled out to his right, ended up finding him late, But really, that might have been the only off-script pass play they had the entire day.
Yeah, it really is choose your flavor when it comes to this, because what he does off-script is kind of the wow factor, and you can think in terms of an MVP context, you can favor him for that. Of course, Mahomes also has a version of that, as does Jackson. But sometimes you just sort of want keep it simple, traditional, if you will, kind of an offense, and efficient, and that's more of what yesterday was, as you said. So, you know, this is the MVP too, but more importantly, the standings, Eric. I think the best thing about where the Bills sit here is that they don't look like they're on a lower tier, really, than the teams that we always talk about that they are expected to be competing with. Baltimore beat them bad. That is true, and we'll see what the Ravens look like tonight. But Kansas City is squeaking by. The Bills have beaten them, you know, if you want it, 3 years in a row in the regular season. And, you know, Houston losing, is Pittsburgh good? And the division is kind of in shambles right now. So I think you have to like where they sit.
Yeah, absolutely. I like where they sit. I mean, Kansas City sits at 6-0. They have a negative turnover differential. If you look at Mahomes' stats, they're not daunting by any means. Now, give them credit. They know how to win games. And whether that comes from confidence, from doing it year over year or what, they know how to win football games, but they're sitting at 6-0. But it's not like the undefeated Patriots season when they're sitting at 6-0 and you're thinking, who the heck's going to ever beat this team? And so, you know, Baltimore, you know, the way their style, you know, the way they're built, they're tough. And but can that translate to postseason victories? We'll see. It hasn't in the past, so it doesn't scare you in the moment right now, I guess is my point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not in a whole lot of fear of Pittsburgh, Cincinnati sitting at 3-4 right now. And when you look around the AFC, you know, Houston loses to Green Bay yesterday and didn't look very good. And now they're without Nico Collins, so they'll get back. So when you look around, yeah, you feel really good about where the Bills are. And as far as playoff picture goes, I know they announced they're going to lift Tua from the IR today, but you know the Bills have a 3-game lead right now, and you feel pretty good about that in the division.
Do you think the Jets are dead?
Oh, man. I love nothing more than them just getting crushed by Pittsburgh mm-hmm. last night. I mean, with all the hype with the Devontae Adams and just kind of the way it happened, and you know, we've talked about, you know, maybe the lack of leadership from Aaron Rodgers and, you know, all that they got going on over there. And maybe it was a 1-game bump and they came out against the Bills with their hair on fire. But, man, they just look like a team to me that if they face any adversity, they crumble. And, you know, maybe they prove me wrong. But I don't know that they're dead this year, but they sure look like they're just – in disarray. And there was so much hope when Devontae Adams came in.
Yeah.
But their biggest issue wasn't a lack of receiver production this year. It was their offensive line's awful. Their defense isn't playing up to what the standard should be. I understand they don't have Hassan Reddick, who may come back, and Jermaine Johnson was lost in the preseason. But to me, they look like a mess.
Yeah, I Rodgers talking after the game about like flatlining, right? The energy just wasn't there. I mean, that is bizarre considering where you are, like what your record is. Adams is there. The fact that that team wasn't energized by that, I think, is kind of telling that there's something maybe structurally off there. My guess would be that it's Rodgers and there's resentment toward him and the way he lords over the entire organization, even though we just got there, but that's a guess from out here. But it's weird to me. I feel like he was telling on himself by saying we didn't have any energy and we lacked urgency or whatever, however he phrased it. Because there's no way that should happen in that spot last night.
Oh, I'm with you 100%. I mean, okay, the head coach is gone. You're as old as most people, you know, on the coaching staff. Everyone's looking to you, and you're the least energetic. You have the worst body language ever. You throw a towel over your head on the bench towards the end of games. Like, okay, well, what's everyone following within that organization? I mean, you're the leader of the team. I mean, you look at the other side of the ball. Is it Quinnen Williams? Is it Sauce Gardner? Maybe, I guess, C.J. Mosley is a veteran linebacker in the middle, but you're the one that everyone's looking to. And so when you say the entire team doesn't have energy and you sit on the bench with a towel over your head, how does that do any good?
Yeah. And, you know, furthermore, I'm just going to take this opportunity to just speed bag Aaron Rodgers, apparently. What do we got to do better? Well, first of all, ignore the media because, you know, he's got to get that shot in. Fine, whatever. Plenty of guys have
like
gone
down.
Like he does. Yeah, right. Plenty of guys have gone down that road. But even in taking responsibility, he shifts blame. It's like, I got to be better. We got to run the ball better so we can play action pass. Like, he just can't own it. Like that, if I were on that team, I mean, I can't stand him, but I just feel like every time he tries to even do the right thing, he can't get all the way through it. He just can't. He can't just say, I got to be better. Like, well, if we could run it better, then I could be better, is basically what he ends up saying. And I mean, I just want to drop kick him in the face if I'm on that team.
Yeah, for sure. And then against the Bills, and Ryan Fitzpatrick puts something out on Twitter about this, and I responded back with something I felt like was pretty clever if people want to look that up, but I took a shot at Fitz afterwards. But Fitz was like, essentially, what good does it do for you to take a shot at a wide receiver who, let's say he messed up in that moment, what good does it do to take a shot right at him in the post game to defend yourself? You're a Hall of Fame, multiple MVP, Super Bowl winner. What good does it do for you to take a shot at one of your receivers who you likely had played a big impact and bring him in this offseason from L.A. in Mike Williams? What good does that do in that moment? And what does that do for the long run? Does that make Mike Williams play better? Does that make him hold his route better and not lose his footing, which was Rodgers' critique on the Taron Johnson interception against the Bills? Like, I just don't get it. And I'm not mad about it, though. I'll say that.
Right. No, I'm definitely not mad. I sound mad, but it's just,
no,
yeah.
I'm with you.
But right, yeah, that's exactly right. I'm glad you mentioned that because that's last week. And I need to throw a better ball there. Like, you know, we don't need all the breakdown of where Mike Williams was supposed to go in verbiage that none of us are familiar with, the red line or whatever the hell he's talking about. I need to throw a better ball. He was wide open. Throw a better ball. That's it.
Right.
Sean McDermott at every turn is, I have to coach better. I'm like, coach, this was just a question about how did you lose the coin toss? Really, you don't have to blame yourself for everything that happens here negatively. Eric, glad, as always, for the chat, and we'll talk next Monday after the Bills game in Seattle. Have a nice trip.
Sounds good, guys.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, that's our man, Eric Wood. His appearance is here on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
Let's hear from some fans. 803-0550, Amari Cooper's Bills debut. The Jet lost. The Bills are 2.5 games up in the AFC East, going for a fifth straight title with almost at the halfway point of the season. 7 games down, 10 to go. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Monday here on WGR.